This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 23rd of January 2010 here in Japan, and today I'm talking with Chris Gio and Soshio Student, the pair behind TruthFrequency.com, a new internet radio program that's already been enjoying some remarkable success online. Chris and Soshio, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, great to be here.
Yeah, it's an honor to be on your show, James.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you guys here. So let's start by explaining for those listeners who haven't tuned into Truth Frequency yet who you are and what it is you're doing.
Well, I'm Chris Gio, a recording artist from Dallas, Texas. I started doing the truth music, polygraphradio.com, kind of started paying attention. I went on tour with them for a little while, released an album, and then I met a Soshio Student. And from that point on, we decided, hey, let's start a radio show. And it's just amazing how it's taking off. We're getting some great guests, great listenership, and we just have this chemistry together that's just unmatched.
That's very true. How long have you guys been doing this?
About 3 months.
3 months, that's it. We met in September. We both decided, well, first of all, we're both forum moderators on Alex Jones's Prison Planet. We've been talking for a couple of years, you know, nothing, never even considered meeting, and then we realized we're only an hour and a half away. Well, the person that I was going to go to see David Icke with canceled, and I was talking to Sheree online. I said, hey, do you want to go? I'll come pick you up. She goes, yeah, absolutely. So I went and picked her up, just never met her in my life, and we went out on a
14-hour trip.
14-hour trip, and it was what? We stayed there for what, 4 or 5 days?
No, about 3 days.
3 days, yeah.
And then it took us 2 days to get home. So about 5 days total.
5 days total, and I mean, it was just like, it just, everything just fit so perfectly while we were there. We said, you know what, we have to get together, and we have to bring our chemistry out to the masses.
And that's where the concept of the radio show came from, because we realized there's a lot of alternative media out there, but not a lot of people that, you know, just come out of nowhere and try to have like a two-man team that actually lives together and works together. You know, we just thought, you know, since I'm the left brain, he's more right brain oriented. We can bring both sides of the brain together into one giant mega brain, I guess.
Absolutely. She really picks up where I leave off and vice versa. You know, I don't want to sound, how do I word this? She has all the information and she can, you know, retain the information, spit out the information. I have the creativity. And so together, we just put that together and it just makes an amazing team. In my opinion, in our listeners' opinion too, we get a lot of emails and things like that. So a big thank you to everybody that tunes in every Thursday at 7 p.m. at truthfrequency.com.
That's right. You guys do have a great chemistry, and you do complement each other very well with your style. So what kind of response have you been receiving so far?
Oh, it's been amazing, James. We've heard from people all over the world saying, hey, you know, y'all work really well together. The show just flows really nicely. I especially like your banter that you had back and forth. And we thought that was our weak link, but apparently people really like it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the response is just amazing. The emails and especially the guests. Well, and we've met some of the nicest people. Michael Sarian is one of the nicest people. Rick Strassman, Chris Everard. I mean, everybody's that's been on our show has just greeted us with these open arms and just been the most down-to-earth people that you can ever imagine.
But also really knowledgeable, about things concerning the Constitution all the way to back to psychology and history and sociology and philosophy. I mean, our guests have really helped us culminate this radio show into something that's actually worth listening to. And we really want to thank our guests that have come on for that.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the guests, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. We figure there's so much alternative media out there. If somebody needs some information, we're going to shoot them over. We're going to refer them over to the Corbett Report, or we're going to refer them over to InfoWars or something. But what we want to do is get as many guests as possible, compile an archive of information that we can leave on the internet for many years to come, and people can be introduced to some of these people that they might not necessarily have heard about. For instance, next week we're having Jack Blood come on, and the week after that we're having Greg from WeThePeopleWillNotBeChipped.com. I've never heard of Greg or WeThePeopleWillNotBeChipped.com, and I know a lot of people out there haven't either, but the guy is just really knowledgeable, really great information, so that's what we're really trying to do.
Absolutely. Well, we have Greg up as a regular guest on the Corbett Report every month, so definitely worth listening to.
He's, good deal.
Yeah, he's an excellent guest. All right. Well, that is excellent to hear. And you bring up an interesting point because you mentioned that the guests are all so down to earth. But I think that's something that people who aren't doing this type of thing probably would find surprising. Maybe it, there's the idea that when you have some big name guest on, it's going to be some intimidating experience or these people are all full of themselves or something. But from my own experience, certainly when interviewing big guests like that, usually they do tend to be very down to earth people that you could just have a conversation with. And it's something that I think people don't really realize until they actually get in the game and start taking part in the conversation rather than just listening to these conversations.
Exactly, exactly. And I urge everybody out there, I mean, the way we got started is we heard Alex say it so many times, go start your radio show, go start a radio show. And so we took that advice and ran with it. And I think everybody can do that. I mean, there's great resources like Block Talk, where all you need is just to a telephone and you can host a radio show. You don't need fancy equipment or anything like that, and get a couple of your friends, sit around, take some calls, and just watch things just unfold. And the way I see it, if everybody's out there yelling with their message, there's no way they can stop us. They can try to take down some of the alternative media, but if we're all doing it, there's no way they can suppress this information.
And it's also about helping people change the movie instead of just keeping on yelling at that movie screen. Part of changing the movie is getting your own radio show together and getting your own guests on there, and then making it something that's a part of you, and instead of, you know, just keep yelling at that movie screen.
That's exactly right, and that's the exact message that inspired me to get in the game as well. It was listening to Alex Jones just say over and over and over that people should start their own blog, start their own website, start their own radio show, and eventually I just took it to heart and went with it, and I'm glad I did, because it really did change my life, and for the better, I would say. I think that's important to have that as the basis for what we're doing, because I think that's really what is changing the game. And today I want to talk about alternative media, or maybe the alternative media, because it strikes me there's a lot of media out there that dons the cloak of alternative media, but is in fact funded by the foundations that are run by the very people who party at Bilderberg with the people who own the establishment media. So that's both disheartening because people fall for it and believe that that is the alternative media, but it's encouraging because it shows the establishment fears a genuine grassroots alternative media that doesn't follow their script. So let's start by describing and defining that alternative media. What is it that you and I and a growing number of others are actually doing, and how does this differ from the establishment media that we're being force-fed on a daily basis?
In my opinion, we are putting out the unadulterated truth, without any bias, without any, I guess the same word would be bias, as in the terms of financial support. I mean, a lot of these media outlets are supported by financial interest, corporate interest, and of course they're going to have to give information based on that corporate interest. We don't have funding from anybody. You don't have funding from anybody. Most of us fund this ourselves. So we're going to be able to get on here and talk about whatever we want, say whatever we want, and deliver it in the way that it really is, rather than clouding up the message with anything else.
Now, are you talking about by alternative media that's not really alternative media? Are you talking about examples like Democracy Now with Amy Goodman? I heard that she seems like alternative media, but really, you know, she's funded by, what was his name? He's real left-wing, George Soros.
Soros, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought you were talking about. No, we're not funded by anybody except Chris. You know, he's been really...
That's why we were running late. We were at Clean Carpet so we can pay our next internet bill.
He's a real professional, and it has been an honor to work with him these last few months on this, because I've realized his level of commitment in this is a lot greater than a lot of people's. And, you know, he really has a commitment, and it has nothing to do with money or fame or anything like that. He really has a commitment to putting the truth out there and by what he believes in.
A little too much sometimes, because we'll go to court or something and she'll get mad because I'm doing my thing. And she's like, well, just do what they say. Well, no, I'm going to do what I've learned. But I can say the same for Cherie, though. She really has gotten into the H1N1 vaccines, the pharmaceuticals and things like that, and she's completely against it. She goes to the schools and she talks about it. She tries to bring all this information out there. So definitely, I feel the same way about her.
Well, that's right. And in fact, the listeners may remember that we did have her up on the program before to talk about H1N1 vaccines. So people should go back.
I wasn't nearly as polished back then. But
that was actually something that attracted me to her before I even met her, was when I heard her on your show. I said, wow, there's somebody that really knows her stuff. And then when I met her, you know, her voice is very beautiful. Then when I met her, it was just, you know, her voice compares nothing to the way she actually looks.
Well, there's certainly nothing that compares to a good brain and a good head that points people in the right direction, right?
Well, absolutely.
Of course, there's going to be good and bad and ugly when people start becoming the media rather than just receiving the media. So that means that we're going to be faced with a lot of opinions that might differ markedly from our own, and the perceived level of chaos in the political debate is going to increase as a result. So some people may think this is a bad thing or get frustrated when they see people out there who are promoting ideas that they don't agree with, but personally, from my perspective, this is not a bad thing because it represents a genuine expression of a democratic debate that only helps us as a whole, because the point for me is that unless we all activate and begin to take action instead of just receiving the media, humanity is itself doomed. So when we start realizing that we are history's actors and we are the media in this day and age, even if people are promoting ideas that I'm not personally behind, I can appreciate that at least humanity has a chance of waking up to the true meaning of freedom when we actually start taking it into our own hands. What's your guys' take on this issue?
Well, when we started, we ran into a lot of opposition, and we feel that we should put everybody's information out there and let the audience decide for themselves, unless it's just something that's just flat-out BS or disinformation. But that's why we have such a wide variety of guests, so we can present everything. Now, we do get attacked for that, though. People say, well, why do you have, you know, the 2012 Michael Tesarian on? Well, because he's got some really good information. You don't necessarily have to agree with that part of it, but, I mean, what about all the others? So yeah, we do get a lot of opposition like that from all sides, especially when we first started. Now it's starting to die down a little bit, but it seems like there's people out there either with a paid agenda or they're just
ignorant
people on a keyboard that they want to keep anybody down who tries to. It's like the way I describe it, it's like crabs in a bucket. As soon as one of the crabs starts to get out, the other crabs will all start to pull them down. But we have to really be strong against that, and we have to just continue what we're doing and not let them deter our will to get this information out.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's almost like he tells another story about monkeys with a squirt gun or something like that, and they would.
It was actually a YouTube video that I found, so I can't take credit for the story myself. But there were five monkeys, and they put them in the cage, and they hung a banana down, and then every time one of the monkeys would try to climb the ladder to get the banana, they would all get squirted. And then so they took another monkey out, and they replaced it with a new monkey, and they did it again. And soon they had at the end five monkeys. And they stopped squirting them at one point in time, but because they had trained them that they were going to get squirted every time somebody reached for the banana, even though none of the monkeys in the cage have ever gotten squirted, they would still pull and grab everybody down, whoever tried to grab the banana. And because that's just the way that it was and has always been from the beginning. And I think that's the way we've gotten to where we are now, is that we've been conditioned so much to think, well, this is just the way it is. You know, this is just what, you know, the Patriot Act, that's just the way it is. Something that I always say is the children who are out there now, some of them are 8 years old. You know, they're going to grow up, and we're going to be outnumbered by people who've never lived without the Patriot Act. And unless we teach these children how to be free and we teach these children the values of liberty, then we're doomed. So that's the most important thing right there.
Well, and the way that story relates to how we got into the radio show in the first place is whenever we first got the idea for the radio show, someone messaged me with, why do you want to expose yourself to the New World Order? And I was like, wow, you know, this is coming from the Patriot community. This is coming from somebody who, you know, says that she, you know, is a truth seeker and wants to, you know, put the information out there for people. And she's telling me not to expose myself to the New World Order. I mean, everybody's already exposed.
The difference is they're going to come for us first, and then they're going to come for them later. But if we all stand on the front line, they can't come for us all if we're all united.
And people have this false idea that if you get active in the truth movement, then you're automatically going to get carted off next week by feds, and you're going to go off to some black site in Europe and get tortured. And that's really not the way it is. I think they want people to think that's the way it is, so they'll be so scared that they won't do anything. But, you know, me and Chris have really moved past that fear and said, you know, whatever happens, happens, but we have to get the truth out there.
Let me ask your opinion on something, James. I feel as though we need to put ourselves out there as much as possible and make ourselves public figures, because if anything does happen, we'll be recognized. Now, there's a flip side to that. There's a guy called The Anti-Terrorist, which we interviewed. He's on youtube.com/TheAntiTerrorist. He puts out some real good information, but he comes on with a mask and voice disguiser. And his theory is, well, you know, if I'm just a kook and I'm spinning out a bunch of stuff that's not true, I can go right back into society without having any of the repercussions for my friends or families. But on the flip side, if they ever look for me, they can't find me because of that. What is your view on that, James?
Well, that's it's a complicated issue, because it's really a double-edged sword. I one of the things that has continually amazed me about what I'm doing and the response that I've had is that ever since day one, one of the things that inevitably people ask when they find out about my website and what I talk about, I over and over and over have heard some variation of, aren't you afraid they're going to put your name on a list? And to me, that's the exact point of the website. If there were no lists, and if we weren't worrying about these, you know, no-fly lists and terror watch lists and all this other garbage that's being forced on us, I wouldn't be doing this at all. It's because that exists that I'm doing this website. So to me, it's like saying if you were back in Nazi Germany in the 30s or 40s and you were a German citizen, would you want to be one of the people that are saying, well, as long as they leave me alone, I'll be happy with it? Of course not. Of course not. If we don't stand up to it, then we are going to live in a nightmare tyranny society. So to me, it's a no-brainer. I understand, however, from the point of view of people who want to protect their personal privacy. For me, putting out my real name and where, you know, that I live in Japan and people, there's enough information about me on the internet that I'm certainly readily identifiable. And to me, that hasn't been an issue, because, again, as you say, I'm not afraid I'm going to be carted off to some, you know, black site in Europe or something. I'm under no illusion that I'm that big a name yet to really make anyone worried about me. But I understand that from a certain perspective, though, you don't want to give personal information about just to random people on the internet, because you never know what kinds of repercussions you'll find from that. And plus, I genuinely agree with the idea of personal privacy, and we have to fight to protect that. And I know that's something you were talking about with Anti-Illuminati recently, about social networking sites and the erosion the idea of personal privacy. So I defend it from that perspective, and I think if you're doing it because you don't necessarily want people who are just searching for information about you in your personal life, yeah, I can understand that. But if you're afraid of the New World Order finding out about you or giving them too much information about you, you know, wake up. They already have all the information they need on you.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, first they came for the communists and I didn't speak out because I was not a communist. Then they came for the trade unionists and I didn't speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews and I didn't speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak out.
That's it. Well, you know, the anti-terrorist, for example, that's a person that I had never heard of, except until your show. So it's already having an effect in getting me to look at new people and new individuals. But there's an example of something where I look at that and I think, well, that just tends to discredit this information, because a lot of people are going to look at that and see just some, you know, some man in a mask, and it's going to be, you know, crazy, and it's going to look like a crazy conspiracy theorist, and no one's going to watch it. But to me, my point isn't to tear that down or to you know, write emails to him saying, oh, you're doing this wrong. The point is, well, yeah, absolutely. That's just another way of approaching this information, and that will appeal to some people and not appeal to others. What I'm doing will appeal to some people and not appeal to others. What you guys are doing will appeal to some people and not appeal to others. The point is, if we're all adding our own voices to the mix, then there's no way to box this movement or put it in a little category or make it a nice, clean, neat little thing that can be controlled. It's only when we do our own personal expressions that I think we can really open up the alternative media to become everything that people are as human beings.
I totally agree. I think the New World Order would like to marginalize the truth movement as much as possible and tone it down to the point and water it down to the point where only kooks and freaks and extremists are part of it, or to at least make it look like that so that new people don't come and new chapters of We Are Change or what have you don't form. And that's what we're fighting.
Exactly. When you live in fear, you make irrational decisions. And when you make irrational decisions, then that's exactly the state they want you in. They want you in a fearful state, so you're, you know, jumping at every dog bark or every whistle or anything that you hear. The way I see it, the truth movement is like a box. And you can either get trapped inside of that box, or you can use that box as a stepping stone and actually elevate yourself from it. And that's where we're trying to take the show, is an elevation in consciousness, as well as putting the information out. Like I said, there's a lot of good information out there from your show, from a lot of other people's shows. So we want to try to elevate the consciousness of people so they can start changing the movie rather than just sitting there and yelling at the movie screen over and over again.
That's right. I mean, you raise a good point there, because the truth movement, I mean, labels like that, which I'm somewhat uncomfortable with, but somewhat it helps to sort of define something that's happening here. But it can become simply a box, a prison, an intellectual prison for us to jail ourselves in. And I think there is that risk of the movement, if you want to call it that, or whatever it is, of becoming simply an orthodoxy. And your monkeys with a squirt gun analogy was quite memorable, but the point is well taken. If we're policing ourselves and it becomes a cult where people have to believe this or they can't believe that, it really is a bit frightening in that respect. And that's something that I hope that my voice and hopefully others like yourselves will help to change and I guess get people to look at the bigger picture. Well,
absolutely. I'm sorry. Let me say this for the listeners. If you want to see that video, I just YouTubed it. It's called Five Monkeys. So just type in Five Monkeys. It'll be the first one that comes up. It's an animation with five monkeys wearing a jumpsuit. So that's the way they can track that down.
I wouldn't have expected that analogy to come up in this conversation, but I'm glad it did.
Well, it's a good one, though.
It's really good. Yeah, have a look at it. Definitely.
It shows people's psychology. They don't want that message I got was just hilarious. You don't want to expose yourself to the New World Order. I'm like, we're already exposed. Everyone's already exposed. It's just a matter of who's the loudest. And I guess, you know, the squeakiest wheel gets the grease, but I don't really care at this point because, you know, we're already fully invested in this. It's not like it's something that we can back out of now. I mean, we've pretty much put ourselves out there as much as we can.
There's no turning back
at this point. But even that being said, I have no regrets about it. We really believe what we say, and we really believe what we stand for. And I think people are going to realize that, and that really helps move our show forward.
Absolutely. And let me just say this for the listeners. You know, a lot of people are looking for a leader. And I always say this on every broadcast that I go on that's not ours. I've said it 100 times on ours, though. The leader is staring you in the mirror, ladies and gentlemen. That is your leader right there. We're just the messengers, but the leader is staring you in the mirror.
That's exactly right. That's exactly why we have to start getting involved. And the point to me is that we live in a time in human history that has never really existed on this planet before, where we can truly become the media with almost no input whatsoever. I mean, a microphone and a computer and an internet connection is all you need to really literally start reaching thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, eventually millions of people around the globe, which would have been unthinkable at any other time in the entire course of human history. So it's so exciting to me, and I really can't fathom why people aren't really latching onto that more and using that rather than just, I guess, commenting on forums or boards or that type of thing, which, I mean, I'm not saying that's not a useful activity, but I'm saying that there are perhaps better ways that we can use this technology that's at our fingertips.
Well, you start preaching to the choir when you're on the forum all the time and just doing nothing but that. And that's what we figured out. We're preaching to the choir. We need to get out there and start preaching to the people. And it started with the music, and then it went into the radio show. And I'm really, really excited about the way everything is coming together. I can't stress that enough.
And I don't know how you feel about this, James, but we feel that the New World Order over the last 50 years knew that this time would come. They knew that this kind of awakening was going to happen.
Well, it's the apocalypse. And in Greek, because, you know, I speak Greek, the apocalypse means the great revealing. And that's exactly what's happening right now. It's not the end of the world, ladies and gentlemen. It's the great revealing.
Well, the New World Order knew this was going to happen. So what they did over, I guess it was in 1996, whenever they basically conglomerated all of the television stations under six owners. Instead of, you know, every station being owned by a different company, it went to six companies. So from that point onward, you had six companies controlling all the channels on TV in the world. And that scares me a little bit because, you know, if you have only like six companies controlling all of that, then you can control the information pretty well. But then with the internet age came individuality. And finally, you had the ability for people all around the world to create their own radio shows and webcasts and things like that. And they're scrambling right now to turn us all off. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
Right. Well, I look at this as a window of opportunity because I think you're right. I think this has certainly been foreseen. I don't think that the internet age wasn't really understood ahead of time by the people who were bringing it into existence. And I think it's like a lot of things that the oligarchs and the elite tend to do. It's risky on one level for them because they have to upset the existing order to bring in the new order. And in that time, of course, there's a state of flux where people really do have a chance at taking back some of the power, but if they can close the net back quickly enough on the new order, then it can go back to business as usual. So that's the way I look at it. We're sitting right now in that window, and it's closing. It is closing. The internet censorship is coming more and more into place every day. Australia is going back behind the Great Firewall. We see more ridiculous cybersecurity type legislation and things on the table. So we know the window's closing, and we have to do everything we can to put a foot in the door to stop it from closing completely.
What do you think of Hillary Clinton's speech the other day about web censorship in China?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to actually take a look at it. I've only read articles. What was it she was really talking about in that?
I have no idea. It sounded a lot like doublespeak. She was like, internet, what was it? Let me get it for you. Because, you know, it's really weird how she's talking about how bad web censorship is. But she's one of the biggest psychopathic Bilderbergers I've ever met, ever heard of.
Right. Well,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
it sounds like PR, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, it does. It sounds like when they were trying to sell the Patriot Act to people, you know, this is going to help our country be free. And it's like they tell you the opposite of what it actually is. And so people are like, no, this is a good thing, when really it's a horrible thing.
Chris, what do you think?
I think they left out the middle word in Patriot Act. It's Patriot Elimination Act. That's what that is. But you know what I think? I think that's the genius of man, is that they're going to just turn around and build another one if they create a Web 2.0. So I'm not too worried about that because we will get our message out regardless. I mean, unless there's troops on the corner making sure that nobody's doing anything, which they'll never do. I don't think they'll do that. We've got cameras on the corner. We are in a high-tech police state. But if they went as far as bringing back Nazi Germany to the fullest extent, people just – that's going to be – that. I mean, that's turning up the water so hot that the frog's going to jump out. They want to turn it up slowly and slowly and slowly and kind of find that balance to where people accept their slavery, but they don't run from it. And I think if it came down to absolute complete censorship like that, people would run from it, and they would start to realize, and you'd have just a mass awakening all of a sudden. And I think that's what they're scared of the most, is a global shift in consciousness, that's why we are always promoting the shift in consciousness.
Well, then turning back to your guys' show and what it is you're doing and hoping to accomplish, obviously you're quite new, just a few months into this now, and already have established quite an audience, but obviously much, much more to come in the future. So what are you guys hoping to do in the future? What would you like to accomplish?
We'd like to see everybody shift their consciousness. I mean, that's really the ultimate goal, is for people to wake up and start collectively saying, no, we're not going to take this. Be able to recognize the tyranny rather than thinking this is just the way it's been ever since the beginning of time, ever since we knew. So that's what we hope to do in the future. And we're just going to just go with what the where the universe takes us. And if the universe takes us in a different direction, I think David Icke said it best. He says, you can't bang on a door that's not going to open, because if you do, you're going to miss that door that's standing right next to you that's wide open. So we're going to follow all of the open doors and just go where they lead us.
Well, I know there must be a lot of people listening to this right now who are hearing this message and deciding what they want to do in their own life. So what advice would you give for people who are or maybe thinking of taking that step and starting some sort of blog or something on their own to get their own voice out there?
Do it. Just do it. Simple as that. We decided let's start a radio show, and we were going through all this planning. Okay, let's do this, let's do that. And then, you know, November 5th came out, and we were thinking, no, remember the 5th of November. That was the day my album came out too, and we said, look, we got to do a show on this. Go back and listen to our first show.
It's
nowhere
awful.
As organized as they are now. But the point is that we did it, and we picked up the phone, called Blog Talk, got on there, had a bunch of technical difficulties, didn't know what the hell we were doing, but we did it. And that led to the next show, and that next show led to the next show, and so on and so forth, until we've built a really good format. So I just tell people, just do it, because once you start doing it, it's going to start unfolding by itself. Sit around and hesitate and wait and wait and wait,
it's never going to get done.
Exactly, it's never going to get done.
Yeah, and people need to remember to keep it individualized. Do what you want to do, and don't do it just because somebody else tells you to do it, and do it your own way. We found that when we try to act like other people, the show sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But when we take it on a, you know, I'm me and he's him, it sounds a lot better.
I've gotten mad before, and I've started yelling on the microphone, and she's like, hey, you know what? That doesn't really sound that good. Leave that for Alex. And then, you know, really. So just, you know, be yourself when you're doing it. Absolutely. That's a really, really good piece of advice.
And we were really intimidated when we first started having guests. The first guest we had on, who was it?
It was Rob Menard.
Right. That was the first, you know, big guest we had on. And when we first wrote him, we were like, oh, he's probably not even going to write back.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know.
And I was talking to him. I was shaking.
Oh, yeah. And we were just like, oh, we're never going to get anybody good on the show. We're just a little blog talk radio show. Who cares about us? But really, these researchers are a lot more down to earth than we realized. Like we were saying earlier, they are the nicest people that you will ever meet, and very gracious with their time, very giving people.
No, well, not only that, but one more piece of advice for anybody who wants to start something like this is do it for yourself, and that's it, just like Cherie was saying. And I think Michael Tesarian said it best on our show. He says, I do this because this is for me. And if you want to pick up the information, great. There's going to be a lot of people that pick it up and put it back down. There's going to be people that don't even look at it. But that doesn't matter. None of that matters. Nothing outside of your immediate circle matters. You just do it, and whoever picks it up, picks it up. Whoever doesn't, doesn't. And don't worry about the rest.
That's right. That's some excellent advice. Just do it, and just get it out there, because it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be something, which was something in itself. I always cringe to think people going back and listening to my early podcasts, because I think the quality was not quite up there. But, you know, how could I be disappointed in the fact that I went out there and did it, even if I didn't know what I was doing and I wasn't very good at it? You know, it's if you don't get out there and do it, you'll never become good at it, right? So,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a learning experience, and it's something you have to practice in order to. I used to say and you know every other word. Whenever I was on your show, that's what I did, right? And you had to go back and edit them all out.
But through experience and through doing it over and over and over again, you start to eliminate that kind of stuff. And then you build up that radio voice. Hey, welcome to Truth Frequency. It's Chris Chio. You know, the first one was like, hey, what's up? How you doing? This is Chris Chio. And then it just evolved from there. So, yeah, don't worry about how you sound. Don't worry about any of that. Just do it, and it'll all come together.
That's right. Well, I guess from a technical perspective, then, do you have any advice? I know that you're on Blog Talk Radio currently, but you're moving soon. Do you have any advice about the way a good way to set up a show like this?
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually moving to polygraphradio.com. So we're going to be streaming from there. We're also thinking about setting up our own stream just so we're not under anybody's thumb. But the guys at Polygraph have pretty much given us complete control over the airtime that we have through their network. So
yeah,
as long as it
awesome.
Stays like that, yeah, it's cool. But as far as technical advice, I mean, you can start with anything like a telephone, and that's it if you want to start with Block Talk. But the way we have everything set up, we have a couple of mics. We have our mixer that goes into a higher quality sound card. You really can't use a sound card off of a computer that's built in, because nowadays they're really not up to date. You're going to get a real bad latency. And what latency is when you talk into the mic, you're going to hear it, you know, 2 or 3 seconds later, and you just can't conduct a show like that. So you got to upgrade your sound card a little bit. But this is a little bit more than what you actually need, but then we just Skype everything straight to Block Talk, and we've experienced some technical difficulties, breakups, and things like that, and we want to broadcast in 96K, which is why we're moving to another server. But I mean, you can start with something as simple as a USB headset and connect through Skype and get on here and start taking calls and doing your thing. So, yeah, anybody, you know, you can start with a telephone, you can start with a USB headset, or move up to a microphone headset and microphone headphones and mixer.
All right, excellent. Well, I guess we're just about coming up to the end of the conversation here, but is there anything that you'd like to say as a final message for people out there, or anything that you'd like them to take away from the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. I got to think about that one for a second.
We would just like to encourage everybody out there to stop yelling at the movie screen, change the movie, and changing the movie can be anything from creating your own blog, starting a website, starting a radio show, even starting an organization like We Are Change or something of that nature. Anything that you're good at, that you know that you can bring to the table to help us fight in this info war would be greatly appreciated. And not just for us and everybody else out there, but for yourself, you know, because when you're doing stuff instead of just, you know, preaching to the choir, then you feel much, much better about what you're doing.
Absolutely. And keep focused. That's the number one thing. Keep focused, because there's going to be a lot of people that come out there and try to point your focus to another place. They're going to start attacking you and try to get you to exert your energy to refute their attacks. So keep focused on the message, keep focused on the information, and keep focused on what you're doing, and you'll see everything just start to blow up and just take off.
Very good advice. Well, I wish you congratulations for all the success that you've had, and best of luck in the future, and all the success that I'm sure is going to come your way in the future. So thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, James.
Absolutely, James. We really appreciate it. Like I said, it was an honor to be on your show, and everybody can tune into our show every Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time. We do a live broadcast for 2 hours at truthfrequency.com, and in February we'll be on polygraphradio.com, but you can always find our information at truthfrequency.com. Our podcasts are available in 96K 24/7 for free download at truthfrequencyradio.com. So we hope to see everybody there, and once again, James, it's really an honor to be on your show. So thank you very much for the invitation.
All right. Well, take care.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.